for your willingness to come alongside us. And I look at it as a partnership that we are able to kind of give and offer. And we are thankful for the privilege of ministering to you in this way. And as she mentioned, I always invite her to come visit with us. And I do the same to you. Even if you have a church home, we'd love for you to come visit. We meet in the cafeteria Sunday mornings, class at 9, worship at 10. Just to see the people that take this ministry seriously and have put a lot of prayer, some of the most prayerful people I know, into providing this. And so we would just love for you to come see us sometime. And we're not into sheep stealing, so we're not going to try to steal you from anywhere. But one visit I don't think will hurt you, and I don't think anybody bites too hard. So we would love for you to come see us. This is a great momentous occasion, and I'm going to try my best not to take too long. Most of you, I know of one that's had to sit through a Coach Creasy lecture in Bible before, Rachel. Hopefully it won't be as painful as in the past. But it is good to be here with you, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share a few thoughts with you. It is interesting to me, and of course I'm a Bible teacher at Riverside as well, that the Bible is now making a resurgence, especially in Eastern Europe, where they are actually asking for Bibles to be used in public schools. Ukraine is an area where obviously there was a little apprehension there on their part, and then they started using the Bible to teach value and ethics, and lo and behold, none of us are shocked, right, believers, that their problems with discipline almost evaporated, and now they can't get enough Bibles there into the public schools. And so regardless of how you feel about Scripture or Bible, I think there are some valuable things, and hopefully today I'll share a few of those with you. Most of you have a tremendous support group, and if you don't think you do, look around the room right now, and most of us, hopefully all of you, have someone here who loves you as an invested time into you. I would encourage you today, just as a practical measure, to make sure they know how much you love them, how much you appreciate what they have done for you. It'll be very physical, as we see here in the decorations and the parties that will follow, that they care for you deeply. And I would encourage you, even when you will disagree about things, and it is inevitable that there will be disagreements. You're all teenagers, right? You've probably already had one or two. But to understand that the people who invest in you are the ones who really love you and want the best for you. And for the most part, they're going to tell you things that they think you need to know, whether you see eye to eye or not. I will be encouraging to you that at 42 years old, there are a lot of things when I sat where you were sitting that I did not agree with my mom on. And now all of a sudden, she's the smartest person that ever lived. And I've got way more degrees than she's got. But that doesn't change the fact that she is brilliant. She's a genius, and she knew what she was talking about. And I wish that I had not waited to acknowledge that until I got kids of my own. Now she's even more of a genius. Proverbs 27 verse 5 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love," as you talked about your love life and the dating world, right? I put this to the test. It was an experiment, right? I'm going to just tell everybody how I feel about them, and they can decline my overtures or not. And many, many times I was rebuked. But I will say that I've come to learn that this experiment in Proverbs is absolutely true. I would much rather someone know how I feel about them than them to have a question of that. When I was your age, it was very difficult for me to tell people that I love them. That has gotten a lot easier. And it can be simple. And I would encourage you to practice that every single day. No one has invested you like the people that surround you today. Many of you may be staying right here, and I'm thankful for that, especially your service and your wisdom that you've learned. We love keeping you right here in Lincoln County, but many of you will be deciding to go somewhere else. And I cannot encourage you enough to find a support group. And there are tremendous examples in Scripture that tell us about that. We're going to be looking at Romans 12. You may have it on your phone. Romans 12, be looking at some things. And I think these things, despite whatever you may believe about Scripture, these are things that can benefit you because there's a value to it that is eternal and has lasted the test of time. And so when you look for a support group or you look at ways to challenge yourself, you can look at Romans 12 as an experiment. I'm going to test these things out for the next 12 months and see how they work. And if they don't work out for you, feel free to jettison them. But I would encourage you, and I really believe that if you do this experiment, you're going to want to hold on to these things. These are things that I've tested out in my own life. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." I'm going to focus mostly on "let love be genuine." Brotherly affection in verse 10 is bore out in a book that I read when I was a freshman in college called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I would encourage you to read that. Those languages are words of affirmation or compliments. We've already talked about telling people how you feel about them. Quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. We all have a genuine love language that we are gifted with and may sometimes feel like it is a curse. It's really been given to you, I believe, by God and by your support group so that people can know how to show you affection and how you can show others affection. It's important for us to understand that if we want to get very far in life, we've got to learn how to serve others and to think of them ahead of ourselves. That may not be a worldly approach, but there's plenty of that to go around. And if every one of you in here chose to love genuinely, the world would not miss out on the negativity of everyone else. It meets that quota every single day. If not, just turn on the news and you'll be reminded. I've often used the example of Toby Keith, and I probably used him here, right? When he was getting popular, he had a daughter in school, and she went to school, and she said, one of her classmates said, "My dad said that your dad is just white trash with money." And instead of getting upset about that, what did Toby Keith do? He went and wrote an album, and he called it White Trash with Money. And it's probably made millions of dollars on being himself. And so I find that interesting that this statement that was made as a derogatory thing, he decided, oh, I'm just going to take that and be really successful with it. And so there's an aspect of this genuineness that I want to encourage you to do. But to be genuine, you have to have some thought. Inflection here to think of what are the things I want to accomplish? What are the things that I want to do? And who all is going to be involved in that? Notice that it immediately goes to thinking of other people. And if you look at other people and you go, what do they want to accomplish? And how can I help them get there? It has this rubbing off effect that when you want to help them get where they want to go, it's amazing how much they want to help you get where you're going to go. And even if that's not one of their goals, a lot of times it just happens that way. So let me encourage you to be genuine. Proverbs 3:3, one of my favorite verses, says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Paul must have known this because he goes on in verse 10 and he talks about outdoing others. Outdo one another in showing honor. One of the things that has gotten a little bit easier is to kind of out-hustle other people. There are more and more lazy people around the world today, and there are people who are incentivizing being lazy. And the one positive that is that if you have a little get up and go to you, you can accomplish a whole lot. Notice that Paul's goal, once again, falls on other people, right? To outdo one another in honor. We should, if we have an argument, especially within the Christian realm, it should be, no, you get the honor. No, you get the honor. No, you're going to get the honor. No, you have the seat. No, we should be arguing about who gets the benefit and who gets the positive. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, we do that. We all win. Verse 11, "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." These are experiments, right? "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." You know what the key is to all of this? He tells you in verse 12, to be constant in prayer. The key to unlock these barriers is to be constant in prayer, or maybe you prefer the word meditation. That was something the Jewish folks did a whole lot of, meditating on God's word, meditating on the positive things. For once again, the world will have plenty of negative without you having to be a part of that party. And so let me encourage you to think on the things that are honorable and show honor to those who it belongs. Verse 16 talks about never being haughty, never being haughty. I love the quote from Thomas Sowell. He says, it takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance. I don't know is a great answer. It's one that my children hear every single day because they have about 50,000 questions. As a teacher, one of my favorite answers is, I don't know. Because it's much easier to be genuine about your own ignorance than to fake it, because they know already anyways. You guys are very observant when someone's not being real with you. And so I don't know is an okay answer, but not one that should entice us to be lazy. I don't know, but I'll go find out to the best of my ability. But understanding your ignorance is the key to considerable knowledge. Because in that, when we say, I don't know, we should be intrigued to find out. Hey, let's go find out. That's what I'm saying. If you don't think Romans 12 is God's word, use it as an experiment for a year. See how that works out for you. And do with it what you will. But don't ever just not do something because it's just not what everybody else is doing. If that was the case, we wouldn't have the Bible, because it's the most really scandalous book in the history of the world. That a man would come from heaven and die for you and invest his life in giving you hope is pretty scandalous when you think about it. And Paul is preaching that message to everyone who will listen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, teach these things I've taught you to faithful men so that they will turn and teach others. And we can look at it from a rational standpoint of the idea of this. Whatever you've been through equips you to help someone else through it as well. Life is going to be hard. As a person who's had somebody in a white coat come in and give them information that they did not quite care to hear, but changed their entire life, I now hopefully use all the difficulties that I've been through, not only to stand here and talk about them, but come along and take the hand of a brother or sister and help them through it. Whatever you've been through equips you to help those around you who are going through similar things. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Notice it says, as far as it depends on you. There are people in your life, and you're all old enough to have experienced this, that there are people who love chaos. They're going to try to bring as much chaos to you as you will let them. And so you've got to be careful. You've got to be on the defensive of who you let influence your life. As a person who's lived long enough to vote in several elections, I have lost more. The person I've wanted to win has lost more than they've won. But at some point I made the decision, you know, I'm only going to give that person the power that's invested in them, but I'm not going to let them ruin every day that I live. Because that's giving people too much authority and license in your life that probably don't even know who you are. So it's the people who invest in you that you should listen to. They're not always going to be right. But the thought of, do they care? You know the answer to that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be involved in your life. As a football coach, I've heard many times, oh, Coach Creasy just hates me. He just hates me. He doesn't like me. He's doing this because he doesn't like me. And I said, well, I spend 2.5 hours every day with you to not like you. That's too much time. Time is investment. Anybody who's put time into you cares. And those are the people that will be with you through thick and thin. Find those people. Drag yourself to them if you have to. But bind yourself close to them. Verse 15 through 17, verse 15 of that chapter, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I would put it this way, be where your feet are. Celebrate today. Rejoice with those who rejoice. But also allow yourself to weep with those who weep. I find it interesting that myself. I like the rejoice with those who rejoice part. I like a good party. I like having a good time. But the difficulty comes in slowing down and weeping with those who weep. You guys are going to have a party probably the rest of the day and maybe the rest of the week. I don't know what your plans are. But there are people out here that this is going to be really hard for them. Keep that in mind. Love on them a little bit more. Tell them, you know, if you're ready to ditch town and run away as soon as you can, you don't have to say that out loud as much. Talking about moms in the place, right? Like, you got to think about mom just a little bit. But be where your feet are. It's so important. Just as some practical things that I've picked up. If you're mad and you're writing an email, don't send that. Right? Just think about it. Work it through. Go, okay, am I sending this while I'm mad? Right? That's very practical. I've had to do that probably 1,000 times. Social media is not the place to convince them that they're wrong. It's just not the case. There are plenty of things that get posted all the time that I'm like, oh, I'm going to get them. You know, I'm going to convince them with this great comment. And then I pause and I think, have I encouraged this person? Have I ever wrote anything to them that makes them think I care? Because if I haven't, what makes me think they're going to care about something I disagree with them on? So those are just some things that I've come across that maybe you've dealt with, and maybe as you're like me, you've not handled very well in the past. Let me just give you some peace and take those and run with them as we experiment together. In conclusion this afternoon, I want you to know that there's not a person who is invested in you more than Jesus Christ. Whatever you feel about him, whatever you think about him, most everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Whether you like the guy or not, he loves you. And he gave himself for you. And he gave investment. Paul, writing in Philippians, a book that he says the word rejoice or joy a whole lot, says in chapter 1 and verse 9, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." You got a lot of life to live, Lord willing. My hope and prayer for you is that it will be in service to him. Paul in Romans 9 says that as Moses told Pharaoh, he said, you've been given this power, this authority, these abilities, so that really, if you let me transliterate here, either way, you're going to honor God. You see, Pharaoh had a choice when Moses showed up and said, let my people go. I really believe he had a choice. And he chose poorly. But guess what happened anyways? People praise God because of what he did in Egypt. Pharaoh could have been a part of that. He could have been a part of that, but he chose poorly. You look at a similar story just a few chapters earlier in Joseph's life. Read that in Genesis, I encourage you, because the guy just got a bad circumstance one after another. And he finally gets a chance to get revenge on his brothers, right? I know what I would have done. It would not have been what Joseph did, right? I was a terrible older brother, right? My brother's life would have been miserable had the power that Joseph had. But Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. The things that God has given you has been given to you so that you will choose the good. May you always do that. And thank you. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for the life you've given us. I thank you for these young people and the energy and the excitement that they have. Lord, I pray that I have not watered that down at all. God, we pray that they would always look to you, that they would look to those who love them and invested in them greatly. Lord, I pray that you help them to see you in the struggle. It's very often easy on days like this to give you honor and praise, and difficult on the days where we feel alone. But help us to realize that we're not, and that you were awesome and wonderful, and you loved us. You sent your son so that we would know that love, and that we would choose to be sacrificial in our relationships and to return that love to you. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for all those who serve in it, because that is true leadership. It's in Jesus' name that I pray for this class and their families. Amen.